Galatians chapter 5, as we talk about, and we'll start in verse number 16. As we're talking about the Spirit of God and the doctrine of the Spirit of God, we talked about the filling of the Spirit. And now we're going to look at the walking in the Spirit, how we must walk in the Spirit. And I think we'll see what the difference is between the two. And I'm not going to tell you to the end what the difference is between the two. You'll see very well, it all comes together. It's real important. That's why I wish we would realize how important this is. I wish everyone in the church from this morning and everyone would realize how important this is to learn this and see this and live this. Because we realize that we are sinners and we have a wicked flesh. And we praise the Lord for the victory that we have in Christ, that is all dead to that, and we don't have to. But he says, here we are going to sin, as we learned this morning. He says, don't sin, but if you do sin, you have an advocate. Now, live right. Remember what even this morning's verse, I didn't go back to it, but remember in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, the Lord knows those that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ, do you remember what the next fruit is? Depart from iniquity. So let all those that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So what is it saying? The simple thing is, when you're a believer, you need to live like who? Well, Christ, he's in you, the Holy Spirit. I referred to it, but didn't mention it in these words. In other words, we take on the very traits of our parents. And as a believer, we take on the very traits of our father. That's how they find out, and that's how we know. There's been times where, I remember one time, Aaron, my firstborn, was someplace, and someone said, "Oh, know who you are? You look like a brother of your dad's." Another time, Adam was traveling for the school at Maranatha when he traveled for the school. And he was traveling there, and he was there, and he walked in, and the pastor comes to him, and he says to him, "Are you Mark Love's son, or are you related to Mark Love?" And he says, "Yeah." I hope he was proud of that. I don't know, but if you even took, there's a picture that we have of me in college, a newspaper clipping in one of the, a game. Or was something where I went up with a shot and did a jump shot, and there's another shot where we have of Adam at age, what, you're taking a shot and you're looking and going, if you can't tell they're related, something's wrong. We always take those traits on, as we take on the traits of a father. So as we've been looking at through the weeks here of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we've talked about being filled, and now we're talking about that walking in the Spirit. And tonight we'll go through all of in Galatians 5, 16 through 26. We'll be going through all of this in the next weeks. But tonight we're just going to hit verse 16 and trust, but we're going to go fast. And so because there's a lot to cover in verse 16 to give us this full circle. Because we have to realize that in the scriptures here, Paul in chapter 5 here, uses four distinct verbs to designate the spirit-controlled life of a believer, all of which are roughly equivalent in meaning, equaling. In other words, in verse 16, he says to walk in the Spirit. Verse 18, to be led by the Spirit. Verse 25, the first part of verse 25, to live by the Spirit. And the last part of verse 25, to keep in step with the Spirit. So each of these verbs suggest a relationship. And we have to realize that this, where this, the scripture says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit," and literally it could be probably better translated. It's not wrong being translated in the Spirit, but I think it helps us understand more by saying by means of the Spirit in the actual language translation. Interpretation of it. So we walk by means of the Spirit. In fact, my Bible, I circled in, put up by means. Now, maybe some of your but I don't believe any translations do have that totally that way. But I think it's more accurate to say walk by means of the Spirit. And so we're going to just look at two things here, and we'll be doing more on the first part and then a little bit on the last part. And so I've broken this verse up in two. There's a priority. It's a command. We have the command of the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. It's the believer's command in verse 16. And then in verse 17, we see the believer's conflict, and we'll be going over that in the future weeks. But it's a command, and in that command, there's a priority and there's a promise. The priority is, it's a priority in this command, for we are to what? Walk in the Spirit. We're continually to walk in the Spirit. As a believer in Christ, being part of that family of God, being called the sons of God, we are responsible for our part. The grace of God and the Spirit of God helps, it enables us to do this, but he then tells us we are commanded. So when he commands us to, there's some responsibility that we have. And we are to what? Walk, continually walk in the Spirit. Our priority is to walk in the Spirit. Then he gives us a promise. Did you know if you walk in the Spirit, God gives us a promise? What's the promise? You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a promise. You want to not sin and fulfill it? Then walk in the Spirit. Now the tough one is, what does it completely mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, as we have a responsibility to walk in the Spirit, we need to look at the word walk then. It will help us when we look at that. We walk in the Spirit. What is through Scripture, and what is this word that God uses? By the way, does the Holy Spirit make any mistakes in Scripture? So as men were moved by the Holy Spirit, we see that he says, uses the word, you need to walk by means of the Spirit. Now the word walk here is used 93 times in the New Testament. It has the idea of conduct, behavior, lifestyle. Literally, it means to walk about. Thus, it's simply to conduct oneself, to order one's behavior, your daily conduct, your day-by-day living. Practically, it would refer to a practical daily life of the believer. What do you do, what you did today, this afternoon, when you purposely walked here or walked to a certain place? It's not talking about that per se. It's going, what is your conduct today? And it says that our conduct today, our one-on-one, our conduct as we walk about, our behavior is to be behavior. It's to conduct ourselves day by day by means of the Spirit. Now, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And he and the grace of God enables you to walk by the Spirit. So now what do we have to do? Do it. When my father told me to do things, I did it. You see, as we look at this word practically, what we'd like to do now is just take a word study through the New Testament concerning this word walk. And I believe if we do this, you'll see the truth of walking by the Spirit and how it will come full circle in order for us to practically and obedient live by the Spirit. I think you'll see it, and so I've given you a PowerPoint for some of this that will show it, because there's a lot of verses that we're going to go through as we do this word study. And I take the word walk in its proper context, and we'll see in just a few minutes the very specifics of a walk, a worthy walk. For we see the sphere of a worthy walk. As we look at that sphere of the worthy walk, we see where to walk by means of the Spirit. Colossians 1:10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we are to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And then that worthy walk in 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says that that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Okay, we already told you what walk is. We need to, okay, since we are commanded and that our desire is that we have a worthy walk, there's another word we have to learn what it meant to them back then in the history and the context. What does walk mean again? What's a simple word for walk that we just went over? Did I get it across, or am I losing it here? Conduct? What's another word we said? Pardon me? Lifestyle? Behavior? Okay, so let's zero those in on our mind now. Conduct, lifestyle, behavior, our behavior. That's our walk. Our walk, then, when you put worthy next to it, needs to be a worthy behavior, a worthy conduct, a worthy lifestyle, or a lifestyle worthy, or a conduct worthy. Okay, what does worthy mean? Well, the word worthy in the original text, it literally means this, having the weight of. In other words, weighing as much as. So it's the idea is having the weight of another thing. In other words, one thing, it's really a word about scales, that what's on one side of the scale is on the other side of the scale, and it balances. So whatever's there, it's here. You might remember years ago when I went over this principle, when we were in this passage of Scripture, I brought a scale up here. And I remember Dan was so worried that this illustration wasn't going to work. But I had already planned this thing. I had already practiced it to get the right weight in there. And so in other words, if you'll remember what I did, if those that might have been here, this was years ago, though, I understand. I don't even remember it completely, just that Dan laughed at me, that he was concerned that it wasn't going to work. But it did, by the way. And what I put on one scale, and on the other side, I put a pail saying God, the Savior, Jesus. And I had books here, all the principles of, okay, his goodness, his grace, his mercy. And I kept putting them in there. And of course, it's lopsided, right? That's God. So then to be a worthy walk to their Savior, then I put goodness, mercy, and all the fruits of the Spirit, and I start putting them in this one. Until they what? Balanced out. That's what this word worthy is. The root meaning literally means balancing the scales. What is on one side of the scale should be equal in weight to what's on the other. So by extension, the word came to be applied to anything that was expected to correspond to something else. A person worthy of his pay was one whose day's work corresponded to his what? Day's wages. So what does it mean for the believer then to walk worthy? The Christian life you live should weigh as much as the profession of Christianity which you make. In other words, you are to see to it that you practice what you preach. That your experience measures up to your standing in grace, Kenneth Weiss said. Now, the believer who walks in a manner worthy of the calling with which has been called is one whose daily living corresponds to his high position as a child of God and fellow heir with Jesus Christ. Do you have a high position? You're a son of God. You know Jesus. Oh, as John says, oh, that we should be called the sons of God. There can't be anything higher in this earth to be called the sons of God. By faith, he saved you. And you're in his family. And he's given you all his inheritance. Remember, it's not your inheritance. Whose inheritance is it? It's God's. And he's given you it all. He's letting you have all the blessings of it all because we are in Christ. So, our practical living matches our spiritual position. In other words, let your practice match your position. Walk in accord for who you are. You're a son of God. So for you to walk worthy, and it says now here, walk by means of the Spirit, and we see that you should walk worthy of God who's called you to his kingdom and glory. So that means, what is he really saying to us in simple terms? Can you give me one phrase? You won't be wrong, okay? I'll make you right, okay? I'll even change the answers on the test if you have to. What is it in simple words when it's, what are we saying? That we must what? Okay. Right? What else? Good testimony. We just simply walk like who? Yeah. Now we're going to find out how you do that. Because you're going to see it come to a full circle here. And I think it all will come to one if we go about thinking right. So, what are the specifics of our walk? Which we're going to look at this time so we can look at the specifics of a worthy walk through a word study. And it will give us several characteristics that if you want to walk worthy, this is how you walk. This is what it looks like. This worthy walk is going to look exactly like this because we're taking every verse that in the New Testament in its context that talk about walk. So first of all, we must walk in humility. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And how are you to walk that? How are you to walk with the scales leveled out? You're to walk with what? All lowliness and meekness. That's humility. What's it say about Christ in Philippians chapter 2? That he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. So the first part of our walk, we have to realize in our walk that we must strive to be humble. And who's the recipients of God's grace, does James say? The humble. The humble ones are the ones that receive God's grace in that special greater grace that we need. So the first specific is we walk in humility. By the way, is that tough? Times it really is, isn't it? Because we're full of ourselves. That's why we have to have our mindset on who he is and who we are. Number two, we walk in purity. We walk in purity. The Bible says, let us walk honestly. There's other translations so we can understand a little more, would use the word properly, decently, seemly, becomingly, which really has a more of an idea. You let us walk honestly as in a day. The idea is we walk honestly as in the day, not in right and drunkenness. In other words, we need to be pure, walking properly, walking decently in a right manner. So it says, let us walk in a right manner as in the day, not at night in drunkenness, and all the different characteristics of that. That would be impure, wouldn't it? So how are we to walk? We're to walk. A worthy walk would be as we walk, our conduct has to be honest. It has to be decent. And we have to do it as in day so everyone's seeing us. Men love darkness rather than light because their days are evil. Naturally, we like to do when no one's around. And that's a tough spot. Boy, and when you're around by yourself and different things, if there's certain things that so easily besets you, you got to make sure those things aren't around, especially when you're by yourself. And so we need to walk in purity. Next, we need to walk in integrity. 1 Corinthians 4, 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So really, as you said, renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, there's the idea of integrity, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You need to be one, I need to be one, if we're to walk worthy of the Lord, that our word really means it. That our integrity would be, well, let me ask you this. Think of the nightclubbish, the dark, the things that are going on in the nightclubs with drugs or everything like that. Honestly, do you picture Jesus Christ participating in that? Of course not. Why would not? Because of his integrity. He's perfect integrity. There was a man one time introduced my dad and said, one thing about Dr. Love, right before he was preaching, and I was in the, was there that we were special music or whatever, and he said one thing about Dr. Love is that when something's there, a position or whatever, I know where he stands on it. I know where he's going to be. That's integrity. That's what we need to be. We know that we're going to have that integrity. We're going to handle the word of God right. We're not going to be dishonest. You know that if you ask someone a question, they're going to tell you the truth. You know they are. And maybe the one that you know they're going to tell you the truth, maybe we should learn to say it a little nicer, maybe. That's part of integrity, too. But we need to walk in integrity. We need to walk in contentment. But as God, in 1 Corinthians 7:17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Okay, but as God has distributed to every man. What is it really talking about? Do you know, folks, I don't mean to get on this, but let's just have some logic here. Did you realize through the days of age that languages change? They really do. I mean, we even crossed one here already. How many of you all say circumspectly a lot? Well, we're going to be coming to it. We don't say circumspectly. We say careful. I really don't say that when I'm talking about someone's behavior, I don't say, you know, their conversation. No, when I say their conversation, you're going to think I talk to them. And I realize out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and that's who you are, that where your treasures are, your heart be also. So it's not a bad word to use. But in the 1600s, when the word conversation was, that was common. The language there, common, you would think of behavior. You wouldn't think of, you know, you would think of behavior. But languages change. And it's not wrong that languages change. And so we need to realize that we look at God's word and in the Bible and the original, what we have, we look at the word and what does it really mean, and we take it to mean what it means. And here, but as God has distributed to every man, I guess you can use this, but I think for to better understand it, there's other translations that have said, and if you would do a study on this word, you would see that it probably comes more along a help a little better understanding. But one says, in other words, but as God, but whatever situation man faces, or that the Lord has assigned to him, or to each one. In other words, what he's talking about, that which is your circumstance, your situation. God's assigned it to you. That's what he's talking here. And if you even look in the context and look all the way down, he's saying, but God has assigned to you, distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one. So let him have the right behavior. In other words, it's contentment. Be with content in what state you are. That is really tough, isn't it? Because circumstance happen in our lives. And you know what the root of discontent is? We've mentioned it before. But the root of discontent is simply disbelief. The root of anger is discontent. The root of discontent is disbelief. So the root of anger is disbelief. So we need to be content in our circumstances, that which God's assigned or allowed to us. Did you know every single one of you, no matter where you are financially or where you are socially or whether God's assigned those different things, and he wants you to be content because he's the one that's is striving to mold you to be more like him in his image. That's what he's doing all this for. All of it. By the way, how many of you understand it all? As I said before, I have no idea. My God's bigger than me. And what a joy I can have to depend on him. And so I'm content, even when I'm struggling to be discontent. All of us struggle to be discontent. You're discontent with your boss. You're discontent with your work. You're discontent with this. And there's things that you can go and you can appeal, rightfully so. But we've got to realize, but as God has distributed to every man, the Lord hath called everyone, as God has called every one of you. That's the way you walk, contentment. Then we see a walk in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk, our conduct must be by faith, not by sight. Let me just real quickly go through, not even go depth in it at all, but let's use an example here of prayer. Has God promised to answer your prayer? Yeah. He says, if you pray in his will, by his name, in his name, he's going to answer. But you have to have faith. You have to believe God at his word that he's going to answer according to his will. It might not be yours, but he's going to answer. And he is answering, and he has answered. You just don't know it. And then in the future, you see it. Why did God wait that to that point in my life? By the way, he didn't wait. He always knew, so he wasn't late. He's trying to help you because he loves you, to help me because he loves me, to be more like him and walk and be more conformed to his image, Romans 8:29. Do you know what that means? How many of you have, things have happened and you later on see, you see and find out something and you, in hindsight, you look and say, boy, I'm glad I didn't know about that. I would have been a mess. Did you know that everything that happened to you, God's working in your life so that you can handle that? That's his grace. So you walk by faith, not by sight. Do you depend on God? Do you believe God tonight? You walk by faith, not by sight. That's the kind of walk to be worthy of God. God's on this side, we're on this side, and we have to balance that out. Then we walk in good works. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto all good works. And so we realize that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then we see I didn't put this one, but also in Colossians 1:10, it says that ye might, as we've already gone over, walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And so what do? We walk in good works. And what is it? Again, it's the Spirit of God that's in our heart. We are his workmanship. Since we're believers now, remember verses 8 and 9 talks about salvation. For by grace ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man shall boast. Salvation has been established there. He then goes on after salvation and says, now that you're saved, we are his workmanship. And remember the word that I use for that? Artwork. We are his artwork. Created in Christ Jesus. He's the one who created us, so we are his artwork. And since he's the one that's created us in that salvation, we're his artwork unto what kind of works? Those good works. To live like Jesus. Him that knoweth the good to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Then, we walk in dissimilarity. What are we talking about here? Well, in Ephesians 4:17, it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In other words, don't walk like the world. You have to be dissimilar. You can't be similar. Be dissimilar. You can't walk like the world. Not self-centered, but Christ-centered. Not shameless to sin, but sensitive to sin. We're from a reprobate mind to a what kind of mind? New mind. New thinker. And so we see in 4:17, it says, henceforth walk not as others walk, the vanity of their mind, not like the world's thinking, and then not of the world, but in the world, as you see in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 2 and 3. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that confidence wherewith I think to be bold again, well, some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You see, there's a difference. What he's saying, we are not of the world, but we are in the world. We're here in the world. But as believers, we're not of the world. And so we have to walk in dissimilarity. We don't walk like they do because we're not of the world. We don't walk in the vanity of the mind. We don't think like they do. And then we see the walk in separation. This is one we don't like a lot of times because, well, we get thrown at where you don't love. Well, you know something? You don't love if you don't. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 says, now we command you. Boy, that's pretty straight, isn't it? The Word of God says, we command you who? Who's he talking to? Brethren, the saved, the church there. I command you, brethren. And then he even puts more strength on it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, he's putting some authority on this because he knows what? You think of it back then. Even today as we might talk. Boy, when someone comes, he knows what he's going to say. It's going to be some tough things. You're going to want to resist it. And Paul goes and says, I beseech you, I beg you. But he now says, now we command you, brethren. And he says, I care for you. You're my brothers. But I'm commanding you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother, one that claims to be saved, that walketh disorderly and not after tradition which you've received. The doctrines that you received of me, the conduct that you received of me, that you don't walk that way. But what does he say? That ye withdraw yourselves from them. What does he say? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And when we speak the truth, Ephesians also says we speak the truth in what? In love. I just believe we've done so much God. We've done the ministry of God a disservice because of our disposition. Sad to say. I've been part of that at times, and God continues to teach me and grow me. And you know what? We have to speak the truth still, but speak it in love. Did you know that you and I can always say something better? I'm not saying that when we say something that it's not true and it wasn't right to say, and there might be no sin in the communication of it. But just know this, we always can say something better. And say it in a better way that might edify that person a little better. But our problem is that takes time to think, and we don't want to do that. So we need to realize that this is a truth, that there is sometimes we have to withdraw from those that might even claim to be believers, but they're against the doctrines of God. They're teaching the wrong doctrines, and they're just they're disobedient brethren that just downright say, no, I'm not going to do that. Then we have walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. We've been touching this topic of love for quite a bit going through 1 John, so I don't think we have to say a whole lot, but that we are to walk in love. The same love, notice it says, as Christ has loved us. My wife speaking in that ladies' conference this weekend in Dallas, the theme was woven in love. She took a basket up there, and she put a basket and a weaved basket, and she took it and then had different, she was able to speak to two general sessions on that love, on what it was, and then the practical use of it. You know something? The Lord's been really working on us. in realizing, especially me, I have a hard time sometimes realizing God really loves me. I know me, but he really loves me. And since God loves his Son, and the Son loves God, and the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the one, they love me, then I love him. And since I love him, I love others. But I got to realize he loves me. He loves me today. He loves me right now. And there's nothing I can do bad that he's going to love me any less. That's amazing to me. And I can't do anything better or gooder that he's going to love me anymore. He just loves. And we are to walk in love as Christ loved. And then this morning, we talked about walking in the light. For we're sometimes darkness, but now we are light. We walk as children of light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. There's where our common bond is. As you and I walk in the light, have fellowship with God, we have a great time going with each other. We can't have a great time if we're not in that fellowship, right? Fellowship with God. And so we walk as light. That's what will give us the direction of our way. And then we saw that walk in love, and then walk in wisdom. I'm going backwards, aren't I? I'm sorry. It won't be the last mistake I make today, and here I'm going home and not having to say anything, or I don't even have to offend my wife at all tonight, you know? We walk in wisdom. The Bible says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. The word there is careful, that you walk careful, not as fools, but as wise. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. You know what redeeming the time is? Buying it back. Seizing the opportunity. In other words, on my business card, I have seizing the opportunity for God. I want to just seize the opportunity that God gives me. You should want to seize the opportunity that God gives you. That's redeeming the time. And wisdom, remember what wisdom is? It's the ability that God's given us to apply truth to our everyday situation, to apply God's word. And then, of course, we walk in truth. We'll be going over this in the next few weeks in 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. That's a wonderful verse. John was joy when he heard people were walking in the truth, walking in the word, were truthful. So with all of those in mind, we come to the standard of our walk. And in this study, I've seen there's two that really jump out to me, the standard of our walk. Paul says to the church at Philippi, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk as ye have for us an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So he's saying, brethren, be followers together of me. So who's our standard to walk like? Paul. As he is what? Of Christ. And then the second one, the most important, the highest, is he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Who's he talking about? God, Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So what is it? Our standard is simply like Christ. We live and we walk like Christ. And that should cause a sufficiency that we have in our walk then. We'll be sufficient in that walk. The possibility of that, it says, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For it are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, here's where we draw it all together. We're going to go real quick, but I'm going to take some verses here now that you know well, but we're going to take them, and we're going to see how this comes in a complete circle. It might be a little easier to see how it all equals out and balances out. Notice it says, I will dwell in them. Who's to say, who's that? Who's it saying? Look what the verse says. Living God, as God has said what? I will dwell in them. So what is God saying? Does he dwell in those that are his children? He says it right there. And what else does he say? I'm going to what? I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to walk in them. Now, he tells us to walk. Why do you think he tells us to walk like him? Why he says it's a worthy walk? Because he walks in us and it's got to be balanced. That's a worthy walk. And so we see that wonderful truth that God's dwelling in believers and God's walking in believers. Christ will walk in you. And so it takes full circle back to what? Galatians 5:16. What's it say? Walk by means of the Spirit. Now, as we see that by means of the Spirit, if we walk by means of the Spirit, remember what we just went over in the past few weeks? And it was all based on Ephesians 5:18. You remember what that is? It says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in what? Excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. All right, we're controlled by the Spirit. We also know that God dwells in us and he walks in us. Remember all of this. And he then tells us that we are his people and that we are controlled by the Spirit. We're filled by the Spirit. And remember what came right after that? It's real important that we see this because we're gonna draw something in else that is involved in all this that you already know. But I'm just trying to show you scripture what it's there. You're gonna say, oh, we did all that to that. I already knew that. I want to show you how God brings it all in through his word. And so we know that we're controlled by the Spirit. Remember what happens after that? All the verses that, what is it? By our relationship, your evidence that you're being controlled by the Spirit, by your relationship to who? Other people, your spouse, your family, your employer, your employees. All right? Well, then we see that it says be drunk with wine where it says, but be filled with the Spirit. Then it says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now, who says he's in you? God. Who says he walks in you? God. Who is in you at salvation? You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And now he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. In you, in all wisdom. By the way, do you know what happens right after this in Colossians chapter 6? In Colossians chapter 6 here, in verses 4 through verse 16, through chapter 4, verse 1, he gives us the result of that dwelling, the same as he gives the result in being filled with the Spirit. And guess what those five things are that he gives us in Colossians? That's the indwelling of the word of God in you. That it's evidence, the result of it is by your relationship to others, your relationship to your spouse, your relationship to your children, your relationship to employers and employees. So what's logic behind all that? I know we said all that to say the same thing that we've already known, but you see how he comes full circle, and we see when you are being filled by the Spirit of God, by means of the Spirit of God, that means the Word of God dwells within you. And that's what controls you. Because we think of Spirit, woo, woo. But the Spirit of God is in you. And because it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God's word dwells in you. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, because you're his. And so we see that very pattern. So whatever it means to be filled with the Spirit, is the same as the word of Christ dwelling in you. You have the same results. God's word must continue to control your thought pattern in order for you to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because he tells us, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. You walk in the word. Because God's in you. God's walking in you. The Spirit of, you are to be controlled by the Spirit of God that indwells within you. You have choices to make. We're not robots. But he's enabled you, because of the Spirit that dwells within you, by his grace, to carry out this command. Decisions that you and I have to make. So we can ask ourselves the question, when is the Word of God enough? God's Word must continue to control your thought patterns in order for you to walk by means of the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You say, Pastor, all you had to say that is at the beginning, and we could have been out of here a long time ago. But you know, we need to study and look at God's Word. How did we come to that? God's plan, and he shows us. Through the Spirit of God, through his men that were chosen by him, breathed out. The very word, as we are to walk, walk in this, walk in this, walk in this, all of that is showing us the Word of God, how we're to live. We went through all those specifics, and the Spirit of God is showing us that, and realize that it's the Word, that's what has to dwell in us. Every one of those had scripture verses, had his Word telling us, this is it. This is how you walk by means of the Spirit. And when you do that, you have a wonderful promise. By the way, you can ask the question, when is the Word of God enough? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall walk with thee. Well, when it guides you, when it guards you, when it greets you, when it's doing all those things, it's doing what God's Word. And we let the Word of God dwell in us in all wisdom. And we become a man and woman of the Word. And what will happen? Where's a promise? By means of the Spirit, walk by means of the Spirit. This I say, by means of the Spirit, you walk. By means of the Spirit, what's the promise? Do you believe God's word tonight? He simply says, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Oh, God's given me an out. I don't have to do what I think I have to do. Well, have you ever heard that? Well, that's just the way I am. You know what I always say when someone says that to me? That's the problem. It is the way you are. And our way needs to be like God's way. And so maybe there's some things that need to change in your thinking to be dwelt in God's word, because God's in you and he walks in you. And so by means of the Spirit, it's the word of God that continues. And we have that promise, this daily process, which requires, by the way, moment by moment decisions. You're going to make some more decisions tonight. Might not be tough or anything. By God's grace, it won't be. But we still have to make decisions. And we have this supernatural process under the control of the Holy Spirit. We can never underestimate the power of our sinful nature, and we must never attempt to fight it in our own strength. It's because of the Spirit of God that's in us, and God's in us, and walks in us, that we can say by his grace, no! To that ugly spirit that you want to show to someone because you're tired. Yeah, I've told you, I mean, there's sometimes you wake up in the morning, you just feel mean. I don't want to talk to anybody. In fact, there's times I know, I just want to feel sorry for myself. It's all of us. I mean, is this real? You know, I mean, how come so many people, the wickedness, how? We serve a risen Savior in this world today. I know that he's living, no matter whatever man may say. And he is our God, and he has given us a promise. In fact, when it says there, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the original language, it really means a lot more than we in our English language understand. Remember, you think different in another language. Remember the Metzgers that were here last week? They've been in German all the, speaking German all the, and they said we were still having problems switching over in our thought pattern to English. Still not getting it all. You got to think in a, I remember when my daughter went to, for two summers, went to a mission trip in Argentina. And she was speaking in Spanish. When she was there for a whole summer, she came back and was going to her senior year in college and says she had a, at first had a hard time not thinking back. It's hard to think from one language to another and get proper translation of that. Sometimes there's not words for things, and so they do the best you can. And here we see it says, will not fulfill the lust of flesh. What does that mean to us? That really means that we won't fulfill. You walk by means of the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But what it means in the original language is it's a double negative. And so in other words, it says this. No way, not a chance, absolutely not. That's what it's saying. That's the promise God gives you and me. Absolutely not. You will absolutely not fulfill the lust of flesh if you walk in the Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful promise God's given us as sinners? W-O-W. I mean, what a joy. And so we realize, as one man said, it's a spirit of victory. And the Spirit is stronger. You see, just as Isaac and Ishmael were unable to get along, so the Spirit and the flesh, the old nature, are at war. By the flesh, of course, Paul does not mean the body. The human body is not sinful, it's neutral. It's the Holy Spirit that controls the body, then we walk in the Spirit. But if the flesh controls the body, we walk in the lust and the desires of it. The Spirit and the flesh have different appetites. That's what creates the conflict that we see in verse 17, which we'll look at next week. Our dear Heavenly Father,